Okay, I'll go ahead and go through these instructions one more time and then we'll get started. Again, my name is Brian. My email address is editor@marketingexperiments.com. Again, my email address, editor@marketingexperiments.com, if you have any problems logging into the notes or anything. The email, or the, I'm sorry, the web address is mecgroups.com/mec_research_log, and we will ask you to refresh that page several times as we add some data and other notes. Again, *4 will increase the volume on your line, *6 will mute your line. Everyone should be muted right now, actually. We're in lecture mode, and my email address one more time is editor@marketingexperiments.com if you have any questions. Upcoming web clinics, 3 weeks from today on August 3rd at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, again, we are conducting a clinic on A-B split testing. So if you're interested in that clinic, you can email me at editor@marketingexperiments.com and I will get a spot reserved for you. Upcoming research briefs that we'll be releasing in the next month or so. Overstock auctions is a marketing channel. We're conducting some additional research on that topic and we'll be releasing it soon. We're testing order path, ideal order path. We'll be releasing that brief. And again, the A-B split testing brief will be both an online conference on August 3rd and a research brief that we'll release about a week later. You can read a brief biography of Dr. Flint McLaughlin on the notes. And at this time, I'd like to introduce Dr. McLaughlin, who will be our primary speaker this afternoon.
Excellent. Now, I have joining me other team members, and Brian, I'd like you to make sure that they are on the right access code and that they are able to talk during the lecture mode as they add their input. And Jimmy Ellis is here, who is one of our senior analysts in optimization and has worked on just a myriad of test projects related to improving conversion. Also, Nick Osborne, many of you are familiar with Nick's name. He's an acknowledged expert across the net and writer on the subject of web writing and communications, and he's our senior analyst in that area and is going to be helping with a whole series of experiments in that area in the coming months. And Nick is an expert particularly in optimization as it relates to copy, but he's done a lot of website analysis, and so he's here and may be helping us. Aaron Rosenthal is a senior analyst with us. He's really one of our most, I would say, effective analysts in terms of just sheer data analysis and does lots of work in measuring conversion and sophisticated spreadsheet analysis and so on. And Aaron is on the line also. And I want to make sure that these guys are able to interact with us. If you have questions, I will point out that first we're going to be releasing some data from experiments and setting things up as we talk through, and then we're going to be moving off of lecture mode and allowing you to interact with questions. You may want to write questions down as I'm proceeding, and when we begin to talk about the how-to portion in this conference, that is, you know, we have 24 to 27 ways you can improve conversion on your site that we'll be discussing, will allow you to interact with us at that point and with your questions. We ask that if you have a question, just please identify at least your first name and optionally your company, and but at least your first name, and then ask your question and we will talk with you. In addition to that, this is very critical. As part of this conference today, we're going to be looking at a website for one of you who are on the telephone with us right now. If you would like to have this very expensive team and group working with you on the phone at some point in this call, giving you suggestions for your own website, we're going to ask that you send us an email. And literally while I'm talking, one of our senior analysts will be going through the emails that are coming in, and we'll select a site to discuss in this call today. And you should be able to get a lot of really significant help that could improve your revenue immediately. So if you'd like us to look at a landing page on your site, a home page, for instance, or a key landing page, please send an email right now to jimmy.e, that's E as in everyman, marketingexperiments, plural, marketingexperiments.com. jimmy.e@marketingexperiments.com. Send him your website URL and any thoughts or comments quickly, and as those come in, he'll be reviewing them as we get underway with the actual data we're going to be discussing in this report today. Brian, have you confirmed that my team is able to interact and talk during the lecture mode that I'll be doing here?
It does appear that they all will be, but you may want to have them check in.
Jimmy, can you speak, please? Just a sound check.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you clearly. Nick, would you speak?
I'm here. I'm here.
Okay. And Aaron, are you there yet? Someone might check on Aaron Rosenthal. Okay. With all of that in mind, let's get started. The topic is conversion rate optimization. We're going to look particularly at how one test site improved its overall conversion rate by 41.8%. I would like to point out for those of you that are sophisticated conversion experts that I consider today's clinic more introductory. I would consider it conversion 101. Certainly we have some very some much more sophisticated high-level looks, very granular looks at a very specific aspect of conversion, such as a headline or, you know, some component on the order process, even credit card error messages. Those are the types of briefs we often generate. But today we want to look in general at improving conversion. And I think with the practical examples and the dialogue and the sites, there's still useful information for you. But if you please let me set your expectations properly at the front end as to the degree of sophistication this clinic will be. I think this is 101, and we'll be getting more advanced things in subsequent clinics, such as the next one, which is on particular A-B split testing. With that in mind, the final thing I'll do before I start speaking is ask Brian, for those that have just joined us, to quickly give us one last set of instructions, and then let's go.
Sure thing. My email address is editor@marketingexperiments.com if you have any problems. MECgroups.com/MEC_research_log is the page with the notes that we'll ask you to refresh several times as we add some data and other notes. We'll also ask you to visit several of the links listed in the URL section. *4 will increase the volume on your line, and *6 will mute your line.
Okay. Let's begin. Most of us know that one of the key performance indicators on your website is your conversion rate. Typically, it is a math calculation. It is a ratio. It is a percentage that reflects how many users in relation to both. When I say how many users, let's define that by saying how many users on your site have or who have been given a particular choice or a set of actions, complete that action or initiate that action or take some action, and there's a division, a simple division that's required for you to figure out how many have the opportunity and how many took advantage of the opportunity, and out of that we generate conversion rates. Typically there's four types of measurement that are interesting when you're trying to understand your site. One is the overall conversion rate in your site. And this measures the total conversion rate for the primary goal or desired action of your site. If your site is selling, say, a single product site or a subscription offering, how many people visit your site, and of those people, of that amount of people, how many of them actually subscribe to your service? The problem with that number, and it's, I'm getting ahead of myself when I talk about this, but just to deviate from my notes, I do not trust personally general conversion stats for a whole site. If I ask a company, what is your conversion ratio, and they tell me it's 4.6%, it's 1.3%, sounds interesting, but truly what I have discovered is the more traffic you send to a site, the lower conversion typically goes, and yet sometimes you still make more money with a lower conversion rate because you are still, as long as you're doing this profitably, more people are being exposed to your offer. And what I have found is a much more appropriate measure in trying to understand the impact of conversion is to do it by channel. How many from the pay-per-click engines are coming to your site? What is your conversion ratio for each one? How many from the shopping comparison engines are coming to your site? How many from affiliate programs? How many from natural search? I think that conversion is a much more meaningful number when it's thought of through the specific channels. And you'll see that there'll be wide variations in what those rates are, depending on the channel. So overall conversion is one type of conversion that we pay attention to. Another is point-specific conversion, and that point would mean there are specific points on your site. For example, you might want to know what percentage of users sign up for your email newsletter, or what percentage of purchase a specific special offer product or a service, or what percentage get to a certain key location on your site. You're measuring what happens at a specific point. That's a type of conversion rate that's very important. There's a third type, and that's condition-specific conversion rates. And that is more or less, you might measure the specific conversion rate for, say, your PPC advertising campaign separately from your overall site conversion rate. So you're measuring conversion per a specific condition. Fourth thing is conversion rate trends. And I don't think we pay enough attention to this area, and it's an area where you can learn a great deal, particularly if you've got your numbers from the previous year's sales cycles. The conversion rate trends measure conversion rates over time and can be used to infer knowledge about your site's seasonality, sources of traffic, or campaign optimization success. There are true trends in conversion, and you'll see at various points. For instance, in many of our sites in the month of June, conversion rates go down. And the reality is that's, we can point it to the summer, we can point it to various things, and I know it's industry specific, but I've noticed in the month of June a number of completely separate industries experience a slump in conversion. And if you're not aware of that, you can lose money in the pay-per-click engines fast, because when conversion rates go down, you need to adjust your bids accordingly. When conversion rates are up, you need to increase your bids in the pay-per-click engines. Now, I've said all that, hopefully not to create a great deal of confusion, but to point out that there's more to measuring conversion rate than just figuring out what's happening on your home page and how many of your visitors are buying. And we need to understand the impact of subtle changes to our conversion. And we've done some experimentation, and I want to kind of point out just a couple of samples from our test data and then really get granular with you and start looking at how to improve conversion for those of you that are on the phone at the present moment. So with that in mind, the goal of most online businesses is to refine and to optimize their websites to achieve the highest possible conversion. And though in this brief, we're just going to actually drill down on a particular set of tests that we did. And in section, if you'll just kind of get prepared for this data, we ran an experiment, A-B split test fashion, to evaluate conversion optimization for a subtle change to the order page on a site. Here are the specifics. We set up an A-B split test to rotate two order pages. Now, don't give them the chart yet, Brian, but in a moment we're going to go to the links. I'm assuming most of us know what an A-B split test is, but I will point out that what we're talking about is two versions of a page designed or set up on your server so that when a visitor comes to your site, first visitor sees A, the next visitor sees page B, the next visitor sees page A, and it rotates. So we did this with two pages on a website, and we're going to show you those links. I'd like to show you, let's not tell them which was which at this point, but let's please show them two links in your notes. And I don't know if the numbers are the same, but I have them as order number, I have them as link number 2 and link number 3 on my notes. Is that correct, Brian?
That is correct, yes.
All right, so if you would please, if you're on the phone trying to follow along with your notes that we've set up for you, please go to link number 2. And you're going to want to take a look at link number 2. And then please go to link number 3. So have two up, and then probably have three either using your back button or opening a separate browser. These are two versions of a page that we ran tests on. And if you look at them closely, you'll notice that on one page, we've included ACH payment capabilities with a clear notice that such payments are acceptable. And before we actually show you the numbers, if you're an expert marketer on the line right now, I would like to suggest that you please guess which one of these pages converted the highest. So look at them both. Make your decision. And And Brian, I'm going to ask you, we'll go back on lecture notice in a minute, but because this is going to be a bit interactive, you can take us off lecture mode.
Okay.
This should allow those of you that are listening to my you should be able to ask a clarification question if you need to.
Just a question. I'm not getting able to open up the forums there for some reason.
Is that unique to this gentleman, or are other people able to reach these pages?
I'm having trouble too. Unable to.
I can see. I'm able to see both.
No problem. You're talking about the detective, right?
Correct.
I am able to see both.
Able to see both. All right. Some of you, you may need to place. Brian, refresh this their notes page with the absolute URL, so they can cut and paste the URL into their browser in case they're having difficulties. And so in just a moment, Brian's pasting in your notes the full URL, and you may want to just refresh your notes page and give it just a second. Brian, tell us when they can refresh their notes page. And you may want to cut and paste that link into your browser and then try to get there again.
So just to clarify, you wanted us to click on Order Form A and Order Form B, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. Okay. So hopefully you should be... Pardon me?
You might also try turning off pop-up blockers.
You may want to turn off your pop-up blockers. It shouldn't affect this page, but it might. So go please, and if you need to, you may want to turn that off.
Yeah, if I also found that do you have Service Pack 2 on Internet Explorer? It sometimes receives new links as pop-ups.
Very good. Well, these are all designed to open a new window, but if everyone will refresh their page now, I pasted in the actual URL, which you may just copy and paste into your browser. You should see those now if you refresh the notes page.
Okay.
I'll tell you, it's
All right, so... I'm going to continue. I'm hoping that helps some of you in terms of solving the problem. In the interest of time, I'll keep moving forward for us. And if you have if you continue to have difficulties, please email support@marketingexperiments.com, and we'll send you a direct email, a link via email to your computer right now, so that you'll have that as well. Email support@marketingexperiments.com, and we'll reply with a direct link in your email as well. All right, if you're looking at the two pages, you may want to guess which one produced the highest yield. And obviously there's a couple of strengths and weaknesses from both that you may note. Certainly one is much shorter. But this is what we discovered. In a two-week test period, Brian, we're going to drop a table right into your notes now. Go ahead and drop that table in, Brian. You'll want to refresh your notes page, and you'll notice. Go ahead and put us on lecture mode, Brian. And you'll notice that we have conversion rate optimization test 1, and in your notes, and there's a form there, order form A, order form B, and you're going to note that based on order displays and completed orders, that the conversion rate increased. Now, I'd like to point out that this is a small increase, and our next one will be larger, but the jump from 6% to 6.51% is easy to miss if you're looking at conversion numbers, and you may not respect what that difference is, but it's an increase overall of 8.5%, which would be the equivalent of making 8.5% more money without spending $1 more in advertising in your marketing budget. In this case, it resulted in 87 additional orders, which were worth approximately $2,600 in added revenue. And what's most critical and what's, I think, quite interesting, it was just the simple addition of the additional payment capability. If you're unfamiliar with ACH payments, an overview is available at a link in your notes right now, which I think would be link 4. Is that correct, Brian, or is that link 5?
Actually, link number 5 in the notes. Number 5.
Link number 5 in your notes will tell you more about this, because you may want to add this capability to your own site. But my point for you is only that though the page was longer, it actually produced a significant enough yield to make it worthwhile. 87 orders is not some small amount when you consider its impact over a 12-month period. This was just during a two-week. This is just during a two-week test cycle. So this test illustrates that a seemingly minor change to a site's order form can have a large impact on overall conversion. We're going to cover a lot more about that in a few minutes, and we're going to look at another test in just a moment, but I would like to, take it off lecture mode again, which we'll be doing a little bit, and while we're doing that, Jimmy, you may want to comment on the other page and just your observations. Jimmy Ellis was the optimization expert who was involved with this project. So, Jimmy, let me just give you the floor.
Let me see here. I was reviewing pages real quick for the end of the call optimization. We were looking at the basic ACH and non-ACH page.
Yeah, well, we are. We're going to the third page that you provided us and talking about the net detective change. Yes.
So we've actually run quite a few tests with this page, even ones that aren't listed here.
Wow.
But one of the things we wanted to do was actually add a quick and easy three-step payment option system that we've actually tested with other research partners that's worked very, very well. So with this page, what's happened is we tested it versus the page without the steps on it, and the page with the 1-2-3 steps actually decreased the conversion, I think it was around by 20%. It was pretty significantly down, and what was happening is, what we believe was happening is that it was actually breaking up the process, so it was not as streamlined as, you might think it would be more streamlined, but it's actually more broken up than the simpler, easier-looking page that just looks like you flow through the page straight.
Four. He's talking about link four in your notes. If you look at link four in your notes, you're going to see another variation of this page, which we actually thought might improve it, but it did not.
Can I get to order form C?
Okay.
The link is broken.
There are too many people accessing the website at this
point. Can you paste that browser?
Yeah,
it's
a pop-up problem. I can paste that URL again.
We'll paste that in.
No, I can't hit it either at this point.
It's not a pop-up problem. The page cannot be displayed. There's something wrong with the link.
Okay, then let's just do this. We'll send you. We'll send everyone on this conference an email with that page so that you can look at it later in reviewing this. Bottom line on the page is simply that it is a three-step process to the order form, which looks more attractive, seems to be cleaner, provides more additional clarity, and it failed in its test. And I think it'd be helpful for you to review it. We'll send it to you via email, and let's continue moving through the report that we have in front of us.
Here.
The next test is really quite fascinating. We set up an A-B split test to rotate two order page sequences for a health-related service provider. Each order form used a three-page sequence to collect all relevant data. Order path A, the sequence before optimization. Order path B featured optimized copy. Specifically, we lengthened the copy in a number of key areas, and we gave examples of how the service could help save the potential customer time and money. We ran our microtest over a 10-day period, and if you'll, we're going to refresh in your notes a chart. Brian, has that been refreshed yet?
Yes. Drop that in. Refresh their browser. They should see a second table now.
The second table talks about conversion rate optimization from order path A and order path B with this three-page sequence from the health site. And critical numbers on here. I won't read each number to you. But what's important to note is that conversion on page 2 to page 3 was 3.13% on order path A, and it was 4.09% on order path B. And that essentially, the key thing you need to grasp from this data is that the microtest produced a 41.8% increase in overall conversion rate. If you get a hold of that again, that means 41.8% more money at the end of the month than they would have made the previous month with this simple improvement in conversion. Website copy was the key to this particular page's success. And it's one of the most important elements contributing to how well a site can create new customers. And we've done significant testing on the difference between long website copy and short website copy. And there's a link in your notes you don't need to visit now, but I think it's link 6 in your notes. Is that correct, Brian?
Yes, that's long copy versus short copy. Correct.
You may want to get that report from marketingexperiments.com after this call and study it. It reflects once again things we learned about long copy. And let me just comment on this. We're going to get more into this in just a little bit. But we have seen over and over again when you know, at the net, so many people are so busy. We know that long copy is a key to direct mail offline. But on multiple occasions, I felt like in the interest of the amount of traffic and the amount of options on the net and the speed with which people browse, is there a way to bring short copy to bear and improve conversion? And over again, long copy has outperformed short copy. This is true whether or not you're selling a service, a subscription offering, or even a store with retail products. The more details you provide on your products, the easier it is to make the sale. I've seen it over and over again. Now, that's a generalization. I'm not saying there aren't unique situations, but over and over again, I've been surprised to discover this. In fact, I'm going to take you to a site. I'm going to take you to a site right now and let you see an example of a long copy presentation that we put together. So go to usahealthcare.com. usahealthcare.com. Brian, let's go ahead and take it off lecture mode while we talk about this for just a moment. At usahealthcare.com, you're going to see a research partner. I assume some of you are aware of the fact that we, much like MIT does, we'll partner with someone in the private sector and conduct research together. We get data, and they, of course, get growth. And this is a research partner of MEC. And if you'll notice this page, it looks like a second step page. It's quite long and detailed. But what you're going to find out at usahealthcare.com, if you were to talk to the principals, is that there was a significant increase with this page over the shorter version that had been tested before, and we've tested many variations. In fact, I have a letter, and I have their permission to mention this to you, to show you this page, and I have a letter from them, from the CEO of the company, or the vice president of the company, saying, just simply this, I want to let you know, I'll read two lines of it because I think you'll find it interesting. I want to let you know how strong our yield per visitor was last month in comparison to when we started this period. The yield per visit I gave you on the original questionnaire was approximately 25 cents per unique visitor to dental and health. As of last month, the gross yield per visitor on dental and health was $2.43. So from 0.25, basically a quarter per visit, jumped by $1.62 to $2.43. That's the result of careful conversion testing, and it's also an indication that sometimes long copy such as this will produce much more than you would expect in terms of its, I think, relative to the amount of people have on the net when they're surfing through a site and some of our own expectations. So I point that out to the meat of this conference, and that is, what can each one of you do on this telephone call right now? Those of you that are listening have tuned in for more than data. You want to understand what you can do to improve your conversion. You want to know what some of the things are that we did with this group, I would assume, that would help you improve your conversion. And I'm going to begin drilling down on a number of things that we've discovered. Again, I want to point out that I find this to be more or less conversion 101 in terms of what I'm going to lay out for you now, because we could get very specific on any one of these points and drill down and spend the whole conference on almost any one of these 24, 25 points. And I don't know that we'll get through all of them today, but we are going to be sending out the full report to you later with this all in writing, so don't be overwhelmed if you're having a hard time following us. The data and these observations will be sent to you as subscribers of the journal. But let's begin to go through them. And as I'm doing that, Jimmy, have you been able to pick a potential site for us to look at?
I have. I'm getting ready to send it to you right now.
All right, while you're doing that, send that to Brian. I'm going to start moving through these lists, and then what I'd like to do is actually live, without any preparation on our end, actually look at a real functioning website and point out where we would be testing and what we would be trying to do to optimize this site's overall effectiveness. With that in mind, let me just point out some of the keys. First of all, accommodate as many payment types as you possibly can. As we saw in the first microtest, adding just one additional payment increased conversion by nearly 10%. Minimum, you should be able to accept all major credit cards, online checks, and any other payment considered vital to your industry or niche. Many companies will also be able to benefit by taking orders via telephone or fax. There's a lot of money being left on the table because we're thinking internet only, and we shouldn't be. The internet is a means to an end. It's not the end. And so accepting orders by phone or fax can be very effective done right. On the other hand, there's a way to do that and minimize your costs, and that may be another report we're doing on exactly how to use toll-free number in conjunction with online order process. Here's another point. Number two, A-B split microtests are a key technique to optimize your conversion rate. Now, we're doing a clinic on this in the future. We're also familiar with multivariate testing. We're preparing right now to do a significant analysis for a major group that's doing multivariate testing. But I will point out for those of you that know what I'm talking about, it allows you to test more than one variable as you would in A-B split testing. There are some very significant risks associated with that, and it's difficult to do properly. I'm not taking away from those companies that do it. I'm just pointing out that you need to do it right. And I can't explain in this phone call why there are these great risks, but if you have questions about it, send us an email. Perhaps we can either answer your email or send you to some of our information that we're preparing on this subject. Look to the clinic in 2 weeks for us to talk about A-B split testing. Now, I wish I could take a poll right now, and in the future I'll do this, but I wonder how many of the people I have on the telephone right now are actually able to A-B split test on their current website.
Wow.
I want to point out for many of you, that is a business-changing / life-changing step forward, as simple as it may be. And the most amazing thing for me is how many sites I see on the internet that cannot adequately test what they're doing. It eliminates speculation, and it yields so much money for you that it doesn't really matter what it costs to get the capability, and most of you could get it programmed into your server for probably less than $5,000. What a significant difference it makes. There are some vendors that are trying to help. We'll be talking about those next week. We're evaluating those. Please know that we're not anyone's affiliate, and none of the recommendations in this report or otherwise benefit us financially that I know of in any way in terms of, you know, any vendors or things that we discuss. But I want to point out that we're making a major mistake in not making sure. Some of us ought to get off the phone and make it priority number one. Why should we be spending more money on our marketing budget when we have such giant holes in our knowledge base and we don't clearly understand what's working well and what isn't? The reality is you can make way more money, as did this site we just looked at, without spending $1 more on your marketing, if you can simply A-B split test. Point number three, site copy is a critical importance, and one of the things that you need to do, test multiple versions of a site copy template, even if you've got products. Some even on the line of retailers. If you're a retailer, you need to actually pay a really high quality writer to write. And by the way, it's not expensive to get writers on the internet. Unfortunately, for the writers, they're more or less a commodity. Now, I'm not saying top A-level writers. Nick's working on our staff. Nick was a writer himself, and he certainly was not inexpensive because Nick was he's one of the best in the world. But clearly, there's many writers out there right now who could dramatically improve your site copy. And I don't just mean the copy on your homepage or the copy associated with you know, your About Us page, which, by the way, is one of your most important marketing pages on your site. Don't negate. Just because you get less clicks there, don't mistake thinking the About Us page is not important. You get less clicks there, but the people who are clicking there are the ones who are thinking about buying from you. Many of you look at your site metrics and may think, well, I don't get that many visits to the About Us page. It's not that important. It's not how many visits you get there. It's how many visits you get there from prospective customers who are about to purchase. And you'll find if you study your web tracks, the path through your site, carefully, that the About Us page is quite critical, and it needs to be written by a professional. needs to be very strategic. And it is a sales page. It's not just an information page. And if you don't think of it as a sales page, you'll write it in the wrong way. Bearing that in mind, the same thing applies to your copy on your products. If you're a retailer, you need to test the most appropriate, most effective template for how you talk about every product in your store. And one of the places to spend your money, and honestly, it's not that expensive, is to get a writer to describe your products more effectively. So I would point out that site copy is of prime importance. At number four, anything you can do to reduce the number of steps, as a general rule, will increase conversion. It's also critical to tell users how long it will take to complete their orders or how many steps are involved. If at all possible, let them know and do so in such a way as they'll be able to anticipate, and you don't give them a rude surprise in the midst of the order process that causes a disconnect, which results in you losing them as a potential buyer. Brian, put us back on lecture mode, if you would. And Nick, again, feel free to jump in at any point, Nick, and or Jimmy. Would you like to add, gentlemen, to anything I've said before we get into this page that's coming up?
It's Nick here. I just wanted to add something to something you raised earlier, which was how adding some copy to an order form, which was talking about the benefits of the purchase people were about to make. I completely agree, and clearly the results showed an improvement. On a lot of sites, what happens is the sites do a good job of selling the product, then send people to the shopping cart, and particularly if the process is lengthy, by the time people have started filling in the postal code, they begin to lose that sense of why they wanted to do it. Very often you'll get all this sales pitch very nicely done on the sales pages, and then it's completely dropped. And people get nervous on the sign up or the purchase page, and they've kind of lost the thread as to what's so great about it. So I think that's an excellent point. And so many sites don't do that. I think it's something everyone can improve on.
Well, and I'll tell you something else. There are leverage points on your site where people are on the verge of making a critical decision, and those leverage points need your most important copy, your most important credibility indicators, things that from third parties that discuss your reliability or that discuss your customer service or that discuss your, you know, the quality of your product. Whatever the nature of the leverage point is, it needs to be matched by the appropriate testimonial from a third party or credential or certification. But the copy there is very strategic, and you'll find that if you can take those sticking points in the process and put right near them in close proximity the right copy, you'll see conversion will pick up in those areas.
Yeah, now testimonials are a great thing to use on sale in the shopping cart.
Absolutely, and they need to be matched. The nature of the testimonial needs to be matched to the risk that's on the mind of your customer or your prospect at that moment.
Yeah.
If prospects are afraid of they're not going to be able to get a refund, then you need to make certain that you have, or that, you know, they won't be able to reach customer service, then you need a sterling customer service testimonial. Don't just pick the nice words and throw them at random on your site. As Nick will tell you, it's very critical to match the right. We actually group testimonials by category and then place them where they're going to have the most impact. You've got to anticipate the question or the concern in the mind of the consumer. I'd like to go ahead and move to one of the websites and talk about improving conversion on that website. And we're drawn from a number of these that have come in right now.
I've got another email, and I think probably one of the best ones that has multiple things you can use, but it's still a strong site, is probably going to be stevespenglerscience.com.
Okay. I was thinking the same thing from what you sent me. All right, so let's please do this. We're going to ask all of you to go to this site. None of us have been here before today, but we're going to start beating it up here. Take us off lecture mode, if you would, please. We've got more of these points, and we're going to be covering many of these points in the notes live as we talk through the site itself.
I'd like to invite you to go ahead as we begin to talk about this site to ask questions. And I'm sorry, did someone speak?
What's the site?
Steve, go ahead, Jimmy.
It's in your lecture notes now. If you refresh, it should be one of the top link at the very top of the page. It says SteveSpanglerScience.com.
Spell it, Jimmy.
I'll give you the same link.
For those that may not have notes open, go ahead and spell it, Jimmy.
SteveSpanglerScience.com. And that should take you right to the homepage.
All right, so what we're going to assume now, can we go ahead, obviously someone here has sent that. What is the first, Jimmy, who sent us that link? Can you give us a first name?
It was, I'm trying to see if it was actually Steve or if it was someone from their crew.
If you sent that link, please, can we get you on the, to identify yourself as we're looking at the site? We may have a question for you.
Yep, this is Stefan. I sent the link.
Okay, tell us your first name again.
Stefan.
Kevin?
Stefan.
It's Stefan. Okay. S-T-E-P-H-A-N.
All right,
good. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's a little, your voice is a little loud. You may not be able to turn it down, but that's the reason I'm having a little trouble hearing, but that's fine.
That's fine.
It's a pleasure to meet you, Stefan, and let me just point out that what we want to do is find out what can be done to improve the site, which necessarily makes us think about what's wrong with the site, but we don't at all mean to be negative as we're looking at this with you. The key is, on the phone right now with the group that we have, let's look at what we could do that would likely improve conversion, or at least ought to be tested in some type of A-B split testing format. Does that make sense? You there, Stefan?
I'm good.
Good. Okay. All right, so with all of that in mind, as I'm looking at the site, I have two things in front of me. I'm just thinking about the site itself, and Jimmy, I'll let you start talking here in just a moment as well. But in addition with that, I have many of the other notes that we have in front of us as to areas that can improve your site. We'll see how many of these apply here, and then we'll be giving you others as we move through in these remaining minutes that we have. Feel free to ask questions as we talk. Jimmy, what do you feel are the top three?
Actually, one of the major ones is in the order process, but when I was looking at the page, I see that there's a button for a free newsletter. And for us, the number one thing, besides obviously getting a sale on the first pass, is if someone does not purchase, how can we leave their information here? Now, they have an email capture in the left navigation towards the bottom, but it's actually not even close to being above the fold, at least in my browser. Yeah, definitely not above the fold. Not that it has to be, but it needs to be, I would believe, in a more prominent place. So if someone comes on the site and can get a piece of valuable information, it needs to be right here on this page. And you'd want to make it so it would actually not be a button like it is in the left nav, actually on the page. They don't have to do an extra click to get to that. So saying free newsletter is great because it's free, but there's no value associated with that. So I would even take a free sample or even putting something on the page that has more value in the newsletter. So that would be one of the top things that I would first off. Some of the other things would be actually listing some other ways to use the product. In the introductory paragraph, it kind of blends in the text. I would probably highlight a few of the different things that would probably be the most popular types of people purchasing the product. So say, for example, science kits, teacher workshop materials, science toys, or eye-catching science or projects. If top sell per people that are buying stuff off of this site or projects or experiments from this site are students for science or projects or teachers, I'd probably highlight these two things and make sure that they pop and they see them on this page in the intro paragraph.
Let's look at this page itself right now, the intro paragraph, and let's do this. I'm going to go ahead. If you are having troubles on your phone, you can mute your one line yourself. Find that *6. Is that the mute?
That's right, *6. I do hear some background noise, so if you are talking or if you're in a noisy room, if you could hit *6, that would be great.
Yeah, and in the meantime, let me just look at this with you and tell you what we do. If we were right now working on improving this page, first thing I'd want to do is literally print the page. Once I've printed it, I want to ask myself this question. What is the objective of this page? Objective number one, objective number two. The first objective, the second objective, if there's any more, what are they? I'm going to assume the first objective is to is to sell a product. I'm going to assume that in the absence of selling a product, at the very least what they want to be able to do is capture the email address of someone so that they can continue to have the opportunity to market to them in the future and do so, of course, with their permission. Having said that, I would then look at this page and I would weight every element on it and say, what is on this page right now that's competing with these objectives or that does not serve these objectives, and I would eliminate it, number one. Number two, I would go back and say, of the elements on this page, what are my eyes seeing first, second, and third, likely based on four or five elements? And this is one of the ways that we control what you see first, second, and third in the iPath. We use size, shape, position, color, and you can sometimes use motion. But all five of those elements, size, shape, position, and color, should control what you see first, second, and third. Primary weakness on this page, I would point out for you, is that upon looking at above the top fold, I cannot clearly understand what the value proposition is for this site. It says making science fun, so I get the idea that there's some kind of process here, that this site somehow makes science fun. But what's missing most significantly is, what is it about this particular site that makes it the best choice against every other competitor on the Internet? What is the one element? It may be equal in every other element, but in one specific element, it needs to be superior. And that needs to be emphasized here, and it needs to be done in a quantitative as opposed to a qualitative way. The opening paragraph says that it does something. It's good. It greets us. It says something to us. But clearly, what it doesn't tell me specifically is how many science experiments do you have, and what is it about this site that makes it the absolute best choice? And it has to do that without bragging. It does it with a quantitative statement that gets you to stop browsing. Now, I'm going to assume that if the second objective is to collect an email address, and the first thing here we're trying to do is get your attention, and then we're going to drive you to specific products that we think might immediately appeal to you. And in the absence of not getting those products, what we're going to try to do is capture an email address. And if you go right down to the email newsletter form that Jimmy was discussing, he was right in saying, hey, there's not enough incentive here to get any one of us. I would venture to say you're getting less than 1%, or they're getting less than 1% of their emails, of their traffic signing up for this email newsletter, certainly less than 2%. Numbers should be closer to 5%, and it's completely dependent on a couple of things. One, there ought to be two ways on this page to get an email address, and maybe there are. We haven't seen them yet, but they're not clear. Two, this email address needs to be brought up directly into the iPath and be a significant part of what I see early on in the site. Three, the incentive needs to be much strengthened as to why I would give this to you, because I don't care about any more specials and updates most coming in my inbox box from the average customer, because I'm getting those every day, and all they really are is just ads. Now, I'm not saying that to be negative. I'm just thinking through the psychology of how someone responds to it.
The only one.
Pardon? So what I would suggest is, number one, that opening text needs to be reworked. Number two, it absolutely needs to emphasize the value proposition. There needs to be links in the opening text that drives you in, and there is something underneath this. Click to hear more. Visit our collection. It's got a good graphic that grabs your eye on the left. Typically, I would have three or four hooks, which would be blue line links in this opening text that drives someone into the site. And then I would strengthen the email capture dramatically. And fourth, I would totally analyze the way these categories are here on the page and test which of these categories are appealing based on what the actual profile of my users are. Physical science experiments, need to know, are these the best experiments to feature, and is that the best category to feature first? The same thing goes with life science experiments. And I think that the other thing missing is, if Steve Spangler is this personality in this site, and the text at the top needs to actually be a letter from Steve with an actual digital signature. I've seen that in pre-conversion over and over and over again. It ought to say something like, dear visitor, and he ought to make a personal comment, talk about the site, he ought to make a comment, sign it himself, and use that initial few moments on the site to make a personal connection with each visitor. Now, the real issue takes place when you start to place the order, and I think we could take a moment to click through to the actual product and not again start talking.
Can I make a quick comment on that first screen first?
Yes, Nick. Please.
I would, Stefan, I'm just going to give you a real quick tip here, but first I want to let you quickly know how I got there. When I first looked at this page, I had this kind of internal eye-tracking observer. And when I looked at this page, my eye and my attention was flying around that first screen, trying to figure out what you were doing and where I should go first. And where I should go first is that introductory text. But I didn't want to, because the first thing that I do when I go to a page is I scan it. My eyes flutter around scanning, trying to figure out what it is you do and why I should bother going past the first screen of the home page. And seven lines of text is too long to scan. So I didn't want to do that. So I kept looking around. You know the first thing I did? I clicked on making ice cream rock and roll style, because it was my easiest way forward. The problem there, of course, is it takes me way down the funnel into one product. And if I don't like it, then you've lost me. So if I was to give you one piece of advice that you can apply today or tomorrow, it would be, and I agree with everything Flynn says, but just in that first paragraph, break it up and bullet point those key things. Inexpensive science supplies, science kits, teacher workshop materials. Bullet point them one after another so I can scan it. So when I'm, whether I'm a teacher or a parent or a kid or whatever, without reading anything too much, I can go through there and say, yes, I need teacher workshop materials. This is the place for me. I'm in the right place. The second thing I would say, at the end of that paragraph at the moment, you say, click to hear more. Well, personally, and I'm not the only person in the world like this, I don't like hearing more. I want to click to read more. Now, underneath that, you've got this strange movie clapperboard with saying, visit our amazing collection of science experiments. Is that the equivalent of click to hear more? Is that the same information? I don't know, because it's got a different graphic. It's maybe saying to me, hey, this is something completely different. This doesn't follow on from the introductory paragraph. So under the paragraph, I would bullet point it. I would say, first, click here to find out more, then click here to hear more, so that people know that those two actions relate to the preceding information. And that's my quick
speech. Just to clarify, that green play button that's next to click to hear more actually is an audio clip.
Yes, I understand that.
And
yeah.
The thing underneath it is quite different. It's actually a science experiment archive.
Okay, well, if it's quite different, it's confusing me, because I don't know that until I go there. And this is a key point on every page. If I go somewhere thinking it's one place and it's another, I'm disappointed and I lose confidence in the site immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's a different thing, separate it visually. And that was why I was confused. I was looking at it, and visually it is collected within the same, you know, immediately under click to hear more. So I thought maybe science experiments was the text equivalent. So if I'm not sure and I click on it, you can be sure I'm going to be disappointed with the outcome. Because it's not taking me where I thought it would.
And Stefan, you're doing some things very right. I mean, you've got blue underlined links. You've got left nav, which I think is good. In terms of left nav categories, that concept is good. There's several things that you've done here that are right, but in general, what you have most of all, and I think Nick is really touching on it, is the iPath is just not a carefully structured iPath to get me precisely where I need to be and to optimize the opportunity that I might make a purchase. That opening note needs to be longer. It needs to have bullet point. Needs to be the reason I say longer, I don't mean longer. It needs to have more impact. And you do that with bold font. You do it with the bullet points. You do it by driving them into the key links. You do it by helping them understand where they're at, what they can do here. And then you drive them into the appropriate level of site. Now, if they were going to place an order, and I really think this is, you know, Jimmy was wanting to touch on this, and Nick, your comments are very good. Let's quickly, and we're going to move through a little few more of these steps. And again, feel free to ask questions now. But let's, Jimmy, you wanted to talk about the order process? You want to give us an example?
Add any of the products, just click on any of the physical science experiments, and you'll go to an actual cart page. Or actually, it's
right.
The cart, and just add one
of
those.
It's an exact link. Tell us which one you want us to click on, Jimmy.
Yeah, because they rotate. I just realized that they all rotate. Any of the ones in the middle of the body of the page, I have Tornado Tube, Magic Tree Classroom Kit, Demo Tank, Palm Pipes, any of those. and then just choose quantity one and add it to the cart. And like I said, the cart is good. It's simple, and it says ready to place your order in our five-step process. And when I see five-step process on a retail site, I kind of cringe a little bit because it really should be simple and short as possible. And this is what I'm constantly in pretty much all day long is these order processes. And what happens is when they are quicker and easier and have less steps, they usually convert higher. And one of the main things is, okay, once you get in this cart, why don't you go ahead and click checkout, is that you have to create an account before you're able to purchase. And that's the primary point that I'm going to make, is that why are you going to make someone go through this process of creating an account, even if it's just email address and password, if they're not sure if they want to give up, because you know, they might not be sure they want to purchase yet, but why are we going to make them go through that extra step or steps, depending on how long the process is, to complete a purchase? You know, some people say that, well, you know, so when they come back, it makes it easier for them to purchase again. Well, my argument is, if they don't purchase the first time, how can you get them to purchase again? So if we can, the number one thing would be to absolutely, you know, either give them an option or absolutely remove this step from the order process and just take them right to they've already seen the shopping cart, they've already seen the price and the total, just take them right to the checkout page that has credit card information and the rest of the information to complete the process. Because I actually haven't gone past that login page, but I saw that it was there and immediately said that, you know what, this is something that I would absolutely test. So I would test it. Can you make a page where it has the create your login, and without it, I'm willing to bet that in almost every instance that you're going to get more people completing the process if you remove that step from the process or from your order path. And then I see that you have the cart content, shipping address, payment, confirmation, and finished. A lot of times you can combine confirmation page and the finished page and then actually complete the order or fix any order problems after the fact with either a phone follow-up or email follow-up or something like that. And regarding that is, I am a stickler for form page codes and error codes. A lot of people say, you know, they have these super stringent error codes on their checkout pages for credit card number and billing address and shipping address and all these things. And for high transaction sites, I understand that they have to be there so it's streamlined and they don't have to call every single customer. But for many companies, you can actually almost disable those and let people complete the process smoothly the first time, every time. And then if they do have a problem with the billing address or the shipping address or it's the wrong information or it's incorrect, then you can follow up either by email or by phone and correct the order, but you already have the order completed. So those are my two things in the order process would probably be those two things.
I would add to that this could probably reduce from five steps to two, three at the very most. Two, I wouldn't have navigation on the left once they start to check out. I'd move any option for them to get off this page with lots. In other words, you don't want them to see something on the left that takes them out of the cart once they have really begun to check out. Three, I'd add the strategic leverage points that are necessary in order to get them through this cart with a confidence that it's going to be, that their fears overcome with testimonials, with privacy statements, or not the privacy statement itself, but, you know, a promise to protect their privacy. With each of these key areas where they have a concern, you need to meet them there. And I'm going to give you an example of a totally streamlined process right now that we've worked on that increased sales by, at least in 3 months, sales went up by more than 600%. And that's an honest-to-goodness real number. Go to this site right now. If you're online right now, go to www.nationalalertregistry.com. Nationalalertregistry.com. And I want to show you a streamlined order process that dramatically improved conversion and literally has an impact on this site of millions of dollars. Now, this is a site that's designed to help children, and that's exactly what it's doing. And of course, the proceeds are going to do the same, and it's a really good site. But please note, if you would, a nationalalertregistry.com. You should be on that page. And look how smooth this works. If you're on the page, enter a zip code, enter any zip code, and then put perform sex offender search. You don't have to do the email right now. You may want to do the email, but perform sex offender search. Look how, hopefully you're having no problem with that. Now I want you to notice the very next page completes the transaction. Pardon? The very next page completes the entire transaction. Not only does it, look what it does. Look how it provides you information that makes you want to make the purchase. Look in the right-hand column how it substantiates the benefits and the reasons why you would want to make the purchase. Now it gives you the sample that makes the purchase more attractive. Look how simple the checkout is. Look how the button is designed to get you to be imminently clickable. And it doesn't say click here to just to place your order, but click here for instant access. Why? Because that's what they want the most at this moment on this site. Look how the fields have been stripped down so there's not one scrap of information more required on this field that is necessary to get the transaction. And as we do in many cases, we get all the other information after the transaction. Does anyone have questions? Nick, what would you add to what we're talking about in terms of improving the order process?
I think really it's I just want to clarify or simplify one of the points you and Jimmy have already made, which is remove every single impediment to people completing the process. Like you say, treat it as like you will be the landing page. Remove links anywhere else. There are so many, even shopping carts, which say, you know, click here for more information. No, don't encourage people to leave the page. Also, absolutely, ask for the minimum amount of information required to complete the sale. The amount of sales that are lost simply because the server is set to send out an error page if someone puts spaces between the area code and their phone number. You know, some forms, if you put in a space between, you know, 240 and the 7-digit number, will give you an error. It's nonsense. You lose thousands of orders that way. Whatever you're doing, don't ask for more information. Don't give people errors. Don't distract people. Strip it down. Keep it simple. And yeah, as we've talked about, whether it's through testimonials or some other information, reassure people. One of the things you can really that really helps, whether it's to do with having a better business bureau thing or a 30-day guarantee or a 6-month guarantee, try and remove any sense of risk. Make it appear completely risk-free that when I fill in this form and I send you my money, it is 100% risk-free for me. You carry all the risk. If I don't like it, I will send it back and you will pay for the shipping for me to send it back. The more you can reduce the risk, the more it's just another impediment you've removed, another barrier you've removed.
Question?
Yes. Yes, please, go ahead.
The animated buy button, was that part of your testing, or is it something you believe in, the animated click here for instant action?
You know, there is a significant difference between what works well and what tests well. I mean, what I like design-wise and what works functionally. The animated button can work if the animation is subtle, and in this case, it outperformed the flat button.
Okay, great.
Now, but I will tell you this, it's like in direct mail, the most effective direct mail often comes on yellow paper. And this is talking about offline direct mail, yellow paper, and often the uglier package produces higher conversion than a beautiful four-color brochure package. It's been proven over and over again. So yes, we have found slight animation. Now, I'll tell you what, it's the only movement on the page, and I wouldn't do any more than this. I'd be very cautious about overdoing motion. It's overdone in most sites. Here it improved performance. And we test all the aspects. We test the buttons. We test everything. Even the color in the fields, the slight yellow in those form fields is an improvement.
Yep.
Got a question for you, Dr. McLaughlin.
Go ahead.
and Michael Madden. I love this order form, but I'm wondering if your conversion would be increased somewhat. You've got my zip code in there. Why not just pre-populate the city and state instead of having to make me fill that out for the extreme lazy bones cases that show up?
It's a good point. I'll tell you why. Because sometimes people placing the orders are doing the search for a different zip code. It might be a grandmother checking for her family who lives in a different city. And so the zip code that comes on the order field doesn't match the zip for the search that was done.
Okay.
Do you follow me? Otherwise, you're absolutely right. One of the points is pre-populate everything you can.
Right.
Okay. And you're absolutely right in the principle underlying your question, but there is a reason we couldn't do it.
Okay, that's good, because I'm finding tremendous success by minimizing the amount of manual labor people have to do to type anything in.
Well, I'm going to tell you what happens also. If you try to place this order and you don't complete it, we already have enough information on the first page. This was designed that way. We have your email address and your zip code. And with that, without doing any spam, without a salesperson contacting you, customer service contacts you and asks if you had any troubles with the service and is there any way that they could help you complete the order. In doing so, with this page, we are able to save many, many of the abandoned orders because we have a two-step automated email process that follows up anyone who doesn't complete the process. Because we deliberately captured that information on the front page. We gave you a legitimate, solid reason why to give it to us. We told you on that front page the average search will take less than 5 seconds, so you don't feel like it's going to be too much trouble. We didn't even ask for your name, just an email address. And by doing that, we've been able to save many of the abandoned orders. We did an experiment like this with another site, and we saved over 4,000 abandoned orders. And I, right now, using this page, we've captured over 400,000 email addresses. I didn't do the work, so I'll brag on the team. It's a brilliant example of how to do it right. And it took a little bitty site that was producing almost no revenue and turned it into a multi-million-dollar producer. And of course, and I want to point out again that the site is not about, the costs are very low, revenue is being poured into things to do to help children, and this is a legitimate group who I have great confidence in, but I just want to, it is a fine example of what to do to get someone to optimize conversion to the highest possible opportunity. And there are many versions. There's four more versions of this page being tested right now, getting ready to roll out this week. So, and of course, I've only scratched the surface on these many, many other things that I have here in front of me that can help improve conversion, but what we're talking about alone is practical things that may be able to help those of you. This other site that we just came from, one of the first things they need to do is capture the email address at the beginning of the order before they capture anything else and use that to approach anyone who doesn't complete an order. And if you're worried about spam laws, depending on your privacy policy, all you have to do is have a checkbox that says, or a statement that this email address will only be used in case they're unable to complete the order. And that way you don't have any problems with spam. We never have an issue with spam doing this. And you word the email not like a sales message, but as a customer service message. And it captures so many orders that you were going to lose. In the case that I talked about earlier, this group paid $22 per order to get someone in the cart. That was their marketing cost. It cost them $22 to get somebody in the cart, and they were losing half of them. But we sent over a million emails in testing, and we began to save them orders, and now it's standard operating procedure for them, and it saves them thousands of orders, you know, a month. Certainly, I would think a month. At least it did it based on the last projections I did, and that's been some time. Any other questions?
Yes, I have a question. Gratian Apple from Chang Design. In our checkout process, we have a survey that captures some background information about our customers. It's an optional survey, but of course, it's one extra step in the checkout process. If we still want to gather that information, where would be a good place to collect the data from the customers?
After you follow the credit card, between on the confirmation page or after the charge has happened, give them a reason why you're requesting the information. And use it either between the receipt of the order and the receipt of something else that they're looking for, but do it always after you've made the order.
Okay.
It'll improve conversion for you right away.
Okay.
Since it's optional, if they don't fill it out, it's no different than if they didn't fill it out before, except this time you've made more money through the process.
Thank you.
Good question. Someone else?
I was going to follow up on that, but one of the things you can do is if you're a retailer and you actually are selling goods, what you can use is actually, you know, if you would like to track your order, please fill out the following information, and you can have any additional, what you can actually do is kind of almost insert a survey or additional fields that you would need for any, you know, if it's demographic information or just the rest of the information, where you'd want to do your username, and if you still want them to have a username and password for your site, you can say something like, you know, if you would like to track your order, please create a username and password, and you can also include those additional fields that you cut out on the front end.
Another thing, and another thing you can do, can I ask your first name, ma'am, the lady that asked the question?
Yes, Graziana.
I'm sorry, did you say Jenna?
No, Graziana.
Oh, okay. The other thing you can do is, after you've collected the order, you can offer an incentive such as, if you have a shipping incentive, or there's some light incentive that you can add to them of get your free copy of X with this order, or get access to the following white paper when you provide this information. Depending on the nature of the product, there's lots of incentives you can use to get that additional information if it's important to collect it. And we've experimented with those incentives and found that you can really increase the response rate, and often you're giving them something that you would have given them anyway in a different part of your process.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Certainly. We're almost done here with our time. Any other questions?
Just a quick one. Do you always add ACH? Does that always improve it? I mean, in National Alert Health, National Alert Registry, is that something you're going to try?
Yes, we're trying everything. You're looking at one of multiple pages being tested. There's all kinds of others. For instance, if you look at predatorreport.com, that's another one. I think Registered Sexual Offenders is another one. And there's multiple variations. And the general rule is add as many payment ways to pay as you possibly can. It almost always impacts conversion. Typically, it's not a giant impact, but like we looked before, 8.5% is not a small thing. It's useful. And yes, that's a good point. Any other questions?
I got a quick one.
Yes.
Hello. This is Aaron from Brainbox.
Yes, Aaron.
My question is just, how do you know what a good conversion rate is? Are there any kind of industry statistics or something to shoot for or anything like that?
Aaron, I have seen people try to approximate that, and I don't think there is a good number. I think the way you know a good conversion rate is you do conversion trend tracking. Eventually, you're going to have a history. And if you're tracking your numbers, the best way to tell good conversion is to compare your current conversion with the history of your conversion rate. And the reason is because every industry is different and every channel is different. For instance, if you get a conversion rate from Google, let's say your conversion rate out of Google is 1.5%, say Google AdWords, then if you're a computer retailer and you've got one of the comparison engines, you ought to see a conversion rate on there probably approaching 4%. And we've seen it as high as 6%. Why? Because the traffic there is more qualified. They're going to the conversion, they're going to the comparison shopping engine, a place like DealTime or Shopping.com now, as it's called, or PriceWatch, as some of these Price Grabber and other sites, you know, BizRate. They're going in there to buy something. And so you typically get higher conversion there. You'll get, you know, so I guess my point is that there's so many variables, depending on where your traffic's coming from, that there isn't a solid way to compare unless you happen to know somebody in your industry with the same traffic stream as you have, and you can get the data.
Thank you.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. It's a good question.
I have a follow-up question on that.
Yes, please.
How do you react to changes in the conversion rate? Like, based on marketing experiments, I started tracking conversion rate a couple months ago, and just for the last week, I've seen a dramatic drop in conversion rate. What types of things would I look at in that case?
That's a great question.
The time of year.
First of all, well, seasonality can impact that. But the first thing you do when you see conversion drop is you go back and check certain fundamentals in your model to make sure that nothing has slipped. for instance, and we'll list some of those fundamentals for you in a second, but the next thing you do is you've got to understand that conversion is a factor that's based on an average over a period of time, and historically we see wide fluctuations in conversion over the short term. So if you see conversion drop for a couple of days, depending on how much, let's suppose your site's getting 10,000 visits a day, that's enough numbers that you watch it, but it may be just something that is an anomaly that will straighten itself out if you have enough people see that page. On the other hand, I've seen conversion drop because, say, one of the search engines added a new partner and they're driving lots of unqualified traffic to your site. I've seen conversion drop because there's a broken link in your page and you don't realize it. I've seen conversion drop because there's a major seasonal shift that's just taken place. I've seen conversion drop because a competitor has moved into the engines and you're not aware of them and they're outbidding you. It just happened in a short period of time, and so your pay-per-click campaigns are not performing properly. I've seen conversion drop immediately because there's a problem with a merchant account and how it's processing the cards. I would get if you want to get more help on this, we wrote a report on search engines, and the whole report is basically, I don't know the proper name for it, but it's basically how to keep from losing your shirt in the pay-per-click search engines, and it gives you a list of things to watch for with regards to pay-per-click and common ways people are losing money in the pay-per-click engines based on a whole bunch of testing that we did. That is in our site right now, and you can get it free by just going there to get it.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, good question. Anyone else before we close? I think I can take one more question.
Yes, I had a question about speed.
Yes.
I checked the National Alert Registry, and it looks like it's like a 15-second load time on a regular modem. I was wondering, have you tested smaller file sizes?
Yes, we have, and you're going to get a literature review from us that comes out with a report that talks about 20 or 30 other reports you can read, some from us, others from all over the net, and they're rated. But one of our things we tested is page weight. And there's a whole, it's actually in the notes. What link number is that, Brian? Page weight tested.
Page weight is number 8 in the notes.
If you look on number 8 in your notes that we gave you, there's a whole report on how page weight impacts conversion.
Okay.
As we tested it. And clearly, you're going to want, in fact, what we've had to done with National Alert Registry is we were so, we had such an improvement, we made such a general improvement in this site that, we had as many as 800 orders coming in simultaneously. And so their servers couldn't handle the load, and we've had to do clustered servers and back all the traffic off, and it took us 2 months to get enough servers in place to deal with the kind of throughput that we were driving through the optimization that we did here. And so we've been constantly fighting to get that load time down as low as possible.
Oh, wow.
And that's an excellent question. Let me ask you this in closing. I don't know how many are still on the line with us. I assume we had, I think, 350-some people registered for this clinic. Tell me, is this helpful? Is this information helpful for you?
Yes.
Yes.
Excellent.
Very helpful.
Yes. Very much.
Very much so.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Hi.
You guys okay?
I appreciate that. Any emails you send us that will help us to keep helping you, feel free to send them to us so we know. And hearing your encouragement is important to us because there's so much work that goes in, that you know is involved with trying to put this type of research together, and we really appreciate your feedback. And the next clinic, if all goes well, meaning that our data set is correct, will be on this whole concept of exactly how to A/B split test. Many of you either may be doing it, but there's ways to do it better, or you may not be doing it yet, and you want to know how to do it in the most efficient way. And we'll talk about that. So I really appreciate your kind words. I appreciate Jimmy and Brian and Nick and all those that have been involved with this, and Aaron. And I shall. We'll keep working. And meanwhile, email us your thoughts or comments on this clinic, and we'll do our very best to get you the information you need to keep improving your site's performance.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. McLaughlin.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.